number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Snap to Rogers. Scrambles to his left under pressure. Rolling right. Escapes. Right side looking. Rainbows high and deep into the end zone. And it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch is made. And the Packers have won. The Packers have won on an extra play.
Final play of the game. Rogers out of the gun. He's back. They need 61 yards and a touchdown. Rodgers rolling to his left. Being chased, slipped the tackle. Rodgers is stepping up and lofting it deep down the field into the end zone. It is up and it is caught. Caught by the Packers. Richard Rodgers for a touchdown. Oh, no.
Tony D with you.
This is Tony D working the third shift.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's
Tony D.
Tony D.
Is there anything better than the local voice of defeat? WTMJ in Green Bay with the exciting call of the Packers-Lions finish. WXYT, the Detroit Lions radio network with the, oh no, call of the end of that game. What a finish. God, for a while there, I was like, oh, no, am I sitting through another one of these football turds? As the Lions were cruising along, leading 20 to nothing, Packers didn't look good at all. And I'm trying to think as I'm watching these games, I try to think, okay, when I get on the air, what am I going to talk about? What's my storyline? What's my take? What's my angle? And so I'm going through the whole game going, all right, what's wrong with the Packers? What do they got to fix? What, I mean, things, they haven't been looking very good lately. They've been losing games, and this is a game they should win, and Minnesota's going to run away with the division. And then it changes to, how in God's name did this happen? A 61-yard Hail Mary to win a game that was extended on a face mask penalty that destroyed social media, by the way. First of all, let me say this about the face mask penalty. And I love, love, love your angles. 800-777-2907. Couple of things on this. And again, take this for just little old me observing the game. First of all, it's not a face mask penalty. The problem, though, is this. It's going to get called every single time, even if it isn't a face mask penalty. Even if it's more hands to the face, even if it's more, and you watch it in slow motion, the hand is going to the shoulder, the head moves in, then you start seeing the hand kind of pass the face mask, but it's not a face mask. And Adam and I were talking about this earlier tonight. It is not a face mask in the typical way a face mask is. When we see face mask penalties called and they go through the replay, you see the hand on the face mask, you see the hand grip the face mask, and then you see, like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, the head just turn like 180 degrees and spin around like he's possessed by a demon. That's the kind of face masks that we're used to seeing called, where the quarterback is just twisted in like a pretzel, and he's like, oh my God, look what he's doing to that guy's neck. This is a travesty. This has got to be thrown. This has got to be flagged. That's not what we had in this. That's not the penalty. But here's the thing with the officials. They're watching this at full speed. They're watching this at game speed. They see that hand go anywhere near a helmet, and if they in the face mask area, and they see that head twist, and they see Aaron Rodgers pop off the ground with his chin strapped by his mouth and his helmet all awkward, flag's going to be flying. That's the way it's going to be. And you can complain about it, and many people have complained about it, but the reality is it's going to get thrown. The flag is going to get thrown. Now, I am not one of those people that says that that's irrelevant. The Lions should have defended the play better. The Lions should have defended the play better, no question. But I can't imagine the feeling of thinking the game was over and then realizing, oh my God, they got another chance. And a Hail Mary is a Hail Mary. There are ways to defend it. That wasn't the best way to defend a Hail Mary. You got to get in there. You can't let Rodgers catch that. But a Hail Mary is a Hail Mary. The ball's up for grabs. It's going to land somewhere. It's either going to land on the ground. Either you're going to get it or they're going to get it. You got two out of three is going to get you the win. The only time it doesn't is when it comes down somebody else. They didn't play that very well. I've seen other goal line Hail Mary type defenses played better. Yeah, but the reality of it is it's a crapshoot. This way, you know, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball in the air. Right? Hopefully some guy catches it. This is something you practice, but in the end, it's all not necessarily luck, but it is. But the face mask is where this game is going to have its fame and its infamy. Not so much the Hail Mary. We've seen that. This face mask is going to blow people away.
Going back to the Hail Mary, I saw a still picture on Twitter of right before Rodgers threw the ball. It's the whole field. You can see everything. The defense, I don't know if the defensive coordinator called this, but he had to have, or this is how they defend all Hail Mary type plays.
Oh, before you tell me what it is, Okay. Please, then that guy should be fired, because this was a bad defense of a Hail Mary.
Okay, it's about to get worse for you. This is about to get a lot worse of how they played this. They had two guys guarding the sidelines at the 45-yard line. They had one on each side.
Who did it? Was
Detroit.
Linebackers that spread out to the sidelines?
Yeah, they were at the 45. They were just both standing right on one on each sideline at the 45-yard line.
Why would you have that?
There's no Packer near them. Nobody. There's the five offensive linemen and Aaron Rodgers, and then the five guys running down near the goal line, and then there's five or six Lions back there, and then two guys at the sidelines at the 45.
Oh God! If that's true,
I'm gonna find the picture and I'll retweet it so you can see it.
Oh, please do, because I want to see that. Sweet Lord, that's terrible. Again, the Lions. I mean, there's a lot of blame there. I mean, how they played that, because it looked like one of the easiest Hail Marys I've seen in a long time. Normally, I see Hail Marys where the ball is up and it's being tipped and a guy grabs it and all of that stuff. That's great. But what I saw was the ball's up in the air and Rodgers just went, yeah, it's mine.
I just retweeted it. Albert Breer had the picture.
All right. That's good. All right. I got to see this. I have got to see this on Twitter.
All the Packers are at the 20, and then there's two Lions at the 45 and the 48.
Okay. I see this now. There's no reason why. You're right. They're at the 45. There is no reason why these two players should be there at all. None. None. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Run for 55 yards before he gets tackled? What are they worried about? The 17 lateral trick play that's about ready to come down.
Yeah, it makes no.
This was it. This was the final play.
And the other thing, another reason why the defensive coordinator should be fired. Why the hell is Kelvin Johnson not in there?
Oh, I know. Listen, can I say this? I say this all the time. I never understand why you don't put in your leaping guys.
Yes.
On the final, whenever the only thing that beats you is a Hail Mary, that's it, 60 yards in the end zone. I never get this. Why you are not stacking the defense with guys who can jump
Calvin Johnson,
extremely high and have good hands?
Yes, Calvin Johnson and Eric Ebron should have been in the game because those are your two most athletic. Tall. I mean, they're both 6'5".
I say this all the time. I keep saying this all the time. Why they don't do this? You do it on special teams. You put a hands unit in on special teams. Like when you need to get an onside kick, when you need to make sure the other team is not getting an onside kick, you put in the best hands you possibly can out there. On a final play kind of thing where it's like a couple seconds left and they could have one shot. You don't want to give them that one shot. I don't know why you don't do it here. Absolutely. Replace some of the slow, methodical linebackers you don't need with guys who can leap and jump and knock a ball down or, heck, even catch it for all you care. Golly.
And the other thing about the play is, I mean, I know I never played football because I got hurt before I actually started. But when I played in summer camp, we went through this, and it was you stand on the goal line and you don't let a ball go over your head.
That's right.
Exactly how it's played. No, they're all behind all the
wall.
Packers.
That's why this is a poorly designed by the Lions. The wall they have is at the midway point of the end zone.
5 yards deep.
5 yards deep into the end zone, and the Packer receivers are in front of that wall in the end zone. And so unless you're reaching behind, like over the guy's back to try to prevent him from knocking out a ball, you're in one of the worst positions to try to make a play on a ball that is going to be slightly underthrown towards your wall. It's a terrible, terrible defense. It was a terrible defensive play. But the poor Lions. We just got done with this with the Browns. So Brownsian to lose a game like they did Monday night. This is so Lions-like to lose a game like this. God, this stinks. This wasn't just the Lions weren't playing the Steelers tonight. Like, are there or a team like the Browns, or they were playing a Packers, a division rival. If you're going to this game, if you've got season tickets in a lost season, you're just hoping that they could get a win. And for 60 minutes, you got a win, and then there's this extra play, and you can't get this victory. God, too bad Detroit. 800-777-2907, the number to join us. Your thoughts on the finish of this one. Bill Huber is going to join us from PackerReport.com. We'll get the Green Bay side of this. I had a ton of questions for Bill about what's wrong with the Packers. I think I can still ask a couple of those questions, but we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this finish. 800-777-2907. That wasn't the only thing that happened in sports. We'll tell you the other big story that happened in college basketball next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans Studios.
And back to Tony D.
We got Bill Huber, PackerReport.com, coming up in 10 minutes. We are live with him for that one, as he's going to be covering the game tonight as the Lions lose to the Packers. So again, Bill Huber from PackerReport.com, bottom of the hour. So the other big story in sports tonight was the fact that Kentucky lost. Kentucky, the number one team in the nation, went to Los Angeles and fell to UCLA 87-77 at Pauley Pavilion. This comes a year after Kentucky destroyed Steve Alford's crew, and UCLA played brilliantly tonight. Brilliantly. But, hey, I'm waiting for John Calipari to say, you know, I was really relieved that we lost that game. I think our players felt just tremendous pressure being the number one team in the country at 7-0. This was good for my team to go out and lose this kind of game. I'm actually very happy that we went out and were handed this kind of loss. Kentucky didn't play very well at all. Not at all. They shot 37% from the floor. The Bruins had 5 starters in double figures tonight, spread the ball terrifically, shot nearly 53% from the floor. They were great. They were great. That's the kind of UCLA team. You're glad that in the end they won that game. They outplayed Kentucky. I've seen too many college basketball games where, you know, and UCLA is not a slouch, right? They're not Central Arkansas, for crying out loud. They're, you know, UCLA is a very good team. But I've seen too many times where a team is playing great, distributing the ball well, getting their shot, getting good looks, doing the little things that you've got to do. But in the end, it is just the talent. It just overrides. So you would have a team like Kentucky or North Carolina or someone along those lines still getting a win, but a lot of things that they've got to correct. But they still walk away with the victory. I was glad tonight that UCLA won this game. I have no dog in this fight, but I like when teams play well and well enough to win and get the win. And that's what you get. Calipari wants to say, spin this any way he can. He'll spin it any way he can. He knows he'll roll through the SEC. He'll have one of the top seeds. He's still got a good team that just right now needs to play better. That's all. They just need to play a little better. And I know it's a transition and stuff. It's, you know, you're talking about a whole new group. But I was glad UCLA was able to get the win tonight. 800-777-2907.
I think this means Monmouth that beat UCLA is the best team in the country.
Of course. Isn't that how it works? Don't we like to play that game? We do it in college. I love doing it in college football.
Yeah.
If I get a team a national champion that has one loss, I usually can I like to play the how far can I go, right?
Like
into a,
like
how a, deep a, can I go till I find like one, you know, one double A Jacksonville State. Like that's what I'm looking for.
Of course, the Citadel is better than North Carolina because the Citadel beat South Carolina and South Carolina beat North Carolina.
There you go.
I mean, this is just.
You can play. I love playing that game.
I mentioned Monmouth, and I look up on the screen and on ESPN, and they're doing a piece on Monmouth, the bench.
Yeah, they're doing the bench because they like to do the acting. Yeah,
all the acting, and they're showing them. They actually practice.
Good for them.
Practice these.
That's great.
That's awesome. These kids aren't going to play.
No. And you know what? Good for them. I'm surprised no one's come up with that. Maybe somebody has, but we just haven't seen the kind of national attention. I don't understand why more schools, more bench guys don't do this.
No.
Look, in this day and age of video and Twitter and Facebook and social media, and you can, I mean, everybody's famous now, right? Like you can, you know, so yeah. You're on the bench, you got nothing better to do with your life. Come up with cool skits and become famous.
And they're good at it. They're
real good
they're
at that.
Really good
they're
at
fun.
It.
Good for Monmouth. That's great. Mike, so how is John Calipari going to spin this game?
I think kind of, you know, just kind of what you said. They're young and they're learning, and this is a good loss for them because it, you know, teaches them. And
I hope he says they played like garbage and they deserve to lose.
And the thing is, and I watched a good chunk of this game. Scale Labassiere, he has not looked good lately.
No, he has not looked good lately at all. Not at all. That's why I like college basketball is that we don't panic, you know, right? We got 68 teams that are in the field. It's all about seeding for some of these guys. Kentucky is going to roll through their conference. But if you got to get a kid like that to play a lot better.
And
he's certainly capable of playing better.
Why is Tyler Ulis playing? He's clearly in pain.
Why
do you have your best point guard, the guy who runs the team, out there playing in a game in December that's meaningless?
And he played 38 minutes.
Yeah.
So I do not get that at all.
It's because they just were fouling the crap out of UCLA. They had a foul.
Let me check the, hold on one second. Yeah, he was 2-for-12 in 38 minutes.
Yeah, and you could just see like every time he shot the ball or he got hit in the lane, he was grimacing. Holding his elbow.
Good for Steve Alford. I'm glad that's working out for him and UCLA. Good for him. I know he's had a rough up and down, but I'm glad that's working out for him. Certainly working out better for him at UCLA than Andy Enfield's working out at USC.
Yeah.
That's not working out at all. Bill Huber, PackerReport.com. You know what? We still have some questions about the Green Bay Packers. This win was nice and it was fun, but it may be covering up a little bit of a darker truth to the offense of the Packers, who were held scoreless in the first half tonight against the mighty, mighty Detroit Lions. Packers, though, are 8-4 after winning this one. We'll talk to Bill Huber next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, so a wild game in Detroit tonight where the Packers beat the Lions 27-23 in a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Packers now 8-4 on the season. Bill Huber joins us from PackerReport.com. How are you, Bill?
I'm great. How are you?
we have been talking about this tonight, about what a finish. I just want your thoughts. As a guy who's covered this team, what were your thoughts towards the end of this game when they got that extra play, when they were trying to heaving that ball up, the way the Lions defended that? What was your thoughts on that play?
Well, my game story was written. The Lions had won the game. The Packers had lost 5 out of 6. Their offense stinks, and their season's in deep trouble. that's kind of how it works, you know?
Yeah.
I just watched the play again in a minute, but I didn't really... I mean, I watched it live, but I mean, it was so frantic at the end. Richard Rodgers is wide open. I mean, he is just completely wide open. There's a whole mass of people 5 yards in the end zone. There's Richard Rodgers wide open at the goal line. It was like the easiest catch the guy's probably made in his life.
In terms of the season, and I was thinking about this too, was, okay, where are the Packers going now? This would be the fifth loss, as you said. I don't want to put a big, huge, hyperbolic statement here that this saved their season, but how important is this win for them this year?
Well, yeah, I hate to say save the season too, but these guys are, I mean, if you lose 5 out of 6, you're banged up. Their offense is terrible. I mean, these guys are, they're probably getting a playoff time because haven't looked at the NFC standings in a while. I think there's a pretty big gap here between sixth place and seventh place. But, I mean, these guys are going nowhere fast because they've got no offense. They can't win on the road. They got no momentum. So, yeah, it's a huge one just from a feel-good perspective. Hey, you know, we won a game. We've come from behind one. These guys never come from behind one a game. So you get those two factors. Yeah, it's a huge win. I mean, these guys have played in fits and starts in all these losses, but they can't make the play to win a game at the end. So to do all those things at the end of the game, it's a huge shot in the air. And plus, you get the mini body, get some guys healthy. So, I mean, this is just an unbelievable turn of events here for these guys.
Can you pinpoint for us where the Packers team has gone wrong over this little, I wouldn't call it a losing skid, but they've dropped a few games. What is there a missing component, or is there something that is glaring in their offense?
Yeah, it's the loss of Jordy Nelson way back in training camp. I mean, he's the only guy on their team that can stretch the field. When he can't stretch the field, you know what happens next? You know, DBs gang up at the line of scrimmage, and they double cover Randall Cobb, and the guys on the outside can't get open. The tight end can't run. It's just all that stuff, and because of all that stuff, I think Rodgers. I don't. It's not loss of confidence. He's just completely out of sync. You know, for his entire career here, he's had like an all-star team to throw the ball to. Where, you know, he goes to the line of scrimmage. He looks at, well, this guy's got the best this guy's got the mismatch. I'm going to throw the ball here. Well, he doesn't have that anymore. There's no mismatches on offenses. On offense, and I just think he goes back in the pocket having no idea where the ball's going to go, or no idea if any play's going to have any success at all. So I think that's where it's going wrong. And, you know, is this game solved? You know, probably not, but at least it buys another week.
Yeah, that's another thing about this. I was telling you earlier that I planned to talk to you tonight about what's going on with the Packers, what's the matter. They do win this game, but can we still talk about the things that this team does need to correct? If you're the coaching staff, there's still a lot of issues. Were those glaring tonight as they were shut out in the first half?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it was 15 carries for 16 yards in the first half. I mean, good heavens, this is the team that came running the ball pretty well. So no, but you know what? Three backup offensive linemen in the game. They scored 27 points in the second half against a team that had given up 43 points the last three weeks combined. So
yeah,
you know, I think they found something. I mean, Richard Rodgers, the tight end, hadn't done anything all year, and even beyond the Hail Mary at the end, he had a big game. They got some other guys involved offensively. So I think they did find a few things here tonight. And you know what? The defense is pretty darn good. This is now, you know, they got killed by the Broncos, 4 weeks ago. They played three really good games in a row. They played a bad first quarter tonight. I think, well, even it wasn't even a bad first quarter, the turnover killed them there, too. But the defense slammed the door for the last three quarters. So, you know, if the defense keeps playing like this, they just have to have a decent offense. They don't have to have the high-flying offense of years past. They just have to have a decent offense. They can be decent. They're going to be a dangerous team come December and January.
Bill Huber joins us, PackerReport.com, on the Green Bay win over the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football. Bill, what's the story with Eddie Lacy? I know he didn't start. I know he's fumbled a while. Was that the main reason, or is there something more to that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think McCarthy was asked in the locker room after the game. Bob went right to the locker room. I'd heard something that they said on the broadcast tonight that, you know, something happened at practice this week. I don't know. So I'm not going to speculate. So I wasn't there to hear about it. So I will plead ignorance on this one.
All right. As far as the defense, as you said earlier, what has anything changed defensively over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, the run defense is really good. You know, the Broncos ran over them, and other than that game and the Bears game way back in Week One, they played good run defense pretty much all season. I mean, this isn't any different than any other team. If you stop the run and that's third and long, you can go attack the quarterback, and Green Bay's got a bunch of guys who can get after the quarterback. So that's where the defense wins, is they've been stopping teams from running the ball. And, you know, once they got Abdullah shut down after he got off to a great start, once they got him shut down, they pretty much handled the Lions. So it's no different than anybody else. But I think Green Bay's D-line is pretty underappreciated. And Clay Matthews, for playing inside linebacker for 13 months, is one of the best inside linebackers in football, and when it's time to go get the quarterback, they can go get the quarterback.
Bill, I want to ask you about what happened Thanksgiving night. I thought a lot of us who watched it were, it was pretty emotional with Brett Favre coming back. And I know that the Packers and Favre have had, you know, contentious relationship over the years, but they've mended it. How important was it not only for Favre, but for the Packers to sort of have that kind of night?
Well, I mean, it was, I mean, to have him and Rodgers and Starr all on the field, the one that match. Now, you know, frankly, with given Bart's age and stuff, that's probably never going to happen again. So, you know, obviously a big night there. And, you know, I honestly don't know what the relationship is between the team and Favre. I mean, the cynical part of me says there's a lot of money to be made by everybody on this. But from a fan perspective, I mean, this tore apart the fan base for years. And there's still a lot of fans who hate Ted Thompson. And, you know, I think the root of the hating Ted Thompson still goes back to what happened 7 years ago. So I think from a fan perspective, it's closure and makes everything right in the world here. But I mean, does Brett Favre love the Packers? Or the Packers love Brett Favre? I don't know. I mean, they can sell his merchandise in the pro shop and make a lot of money.
Yeah, but from a sense of, like, not every team in the NFL takes care of its history like the Packers do. And I kept always wondering, there's got to be some sort of coming together, because you just cannot have a successful quarterback like this sort of alienated from the historical aspect of this team.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, all the Green Bay success even today boils down to what Favre did way back then. You know, go back to the early 90s, the Packers were a lousy football team. They're obviously they're still the smallest market, but now, Lambeau Field is an antiquated stadium. You know, Favre starts winning football games. They're able to renovate Lambeau Field on a sales tax that barely passed. You know, without Favre in them winning, the sales tax probably doesn't pass. And I mean, right now Lambeau Field is the only 365-day-a-year slot or ATM for the team to pay players with. And you know, Favre's not here to do that. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, the Packers are probably. You know, the former team president, Bob Harlan, said they're a couple years away from running out of money and having to start going into debt. And now they have money coming out of the you-know-what. So, it's everything really dates back to Favre. And, yeah, they definitely needed to mend fences there.
Bill Huber again, PackerReport.com on Green Bay. They go to 8-5 with their win over the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football. Good stretch of games coming up for them to close out the season. Bill, great talking to you. I hope we do it again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
I know. Great long night for you. I appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate it. Now, here's what the Packers have coming up. Dallas at home and Lambeau Field. Fine. Then on the road at Oakland. Road games are tricky. Then they close out with Arizona and Minnesota. They're talking about two division leaders right now. Now, I don't know where everybody else is going to shape up, but with some of the issues that he mentioned, some injuries. Yes, the offense is struggling without Jordy Nelson. We're starting to see that effect on this team. This team got a win tonight and came back and fought, but there were some problems. And you know what? I shouldn't even say were. There are still some problems on this team. They lost three straight, and the losses were on the road at Denver and on the road at Carolina, home at Detroit. I can take two of those three. But losing to Chicago at home on Brett Favre night can't happen. Losing tonight against Detroit, if they don't complete that pass, can't happen.
That's right. You said the schedule for them. That was why the first thing I said to you was, this better not cost my Bears a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Because the Bears' schedule going down is, I mean, they have a bunch of winnable games. They have five winnable games that they can do, whereas the Packers have some games, some tough games. And if the Packers lose this and the Bears win, they're only a game behind them. Now the Bears have to win to stay two games behind
them. I would not be surprised. I don't think they will, but I would not be surprised if the Packers go 1-3 down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if they don't complete this pass, the Bears and other teams, I'm a Bears fan, so I bring up the Bears, but there's other teams that are sitting at 5-6 that were just licking their chops. They're like, that second wild card is right there for us. And then they see that, and I mean, their hearts just got to be like, you got to be kidding me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember I told you yesterday the Arkansas play avoided chaos? in college football because it simplified the SEC. It just allowed for win, get in. That's all you got. Nobody else. Had Ole Miss gone to, you know, had Ole Miss gone to Atlanta with two losses, and Alabama would be sitting at home with one, and all these debates and arguments and screaming from the South. You avoid that with one Arkansas 4th-and-25 completion. This could be that kind of thing. This could be that same similar thing where you may look back and say, well, the Packers are in and they got in, but man, if they didn't complete that Hail Mary on that Thursday night back in early December, you've got this team, this team, this team. We could have gone to the third tiebreaker with some of these guys. You the more you get teams piled up, the crazier it is, and this kind of separation could prevent that. But you're absolutely right. Everybody that's kind of hovering went, oh, God, are you kidding me?
Even Detroit would have been just two games behind them, sweeping them.
And starting to play pretty good. Yeah. They dismantled the front office, they're actually playing, you know, that would have been their fourth straight win tonight.
That play knocked Detroit out of any playoff discussion.
Oh. That is a blow. That is a blow when you start thinking about this. A Hail Mary at the end of the game on another play from a face mask call. Yeah, that's questionable.
Play with zero on the clock.
Oh, man. It's good stuff. This is fun. Not fun if you're praying to the football gods. You could scrounge up a Bears playoff berth.
The one team in sports I hate. No, there's two teams. The Packers and Ohio State. I cannot stand the Packers, and that happened, and it hurts the Bears' playoff chances going forward. If the Bears were 2-6, I'd been like, oh, that's awesome. You know, the Lions are the Lions, but no, the Bears are playing well. Even the Lions are playing well, and that happens for the Packers.
You know how you get players, like, they'll ask about a guy who makes a huge mistake, and they'll say, like, well, you know, man, that didn't cost us the win. You know, we all play as a team. We lose as a team. Do you think behind closed doors they go, beep and beep and beep, 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 what were you thinking?
Yeah, probably.
Like with Devin Taylor, we went over everybody watched the slow-mo. It just kind of was going through the shoulder, grabbed the face mask. But I'm sure there's guys in that locker room that are, like, behind closed doors going, are you kidding me, man? Really? Face mask on the final play of the game? You can't even breathe on Aaron Rodgers without a flag being thrown.
And to tell you the truth, you sat there and talked to Bill Huber about their problems, and one of the Packers' main problems on offense is their offensive line. It actually, their bad offensive line actually helped them on that play because he got beat and had the face mask. Because Devin Taylor was all over Aaron Rodgers all night long.
And let's make this clear. Because for people who hadn't seen the play that where Aaron Rodgers got a face mask, it was lateraled back to him.
Yeah.
It wasn't Aaron Rodgers back to throw, looking. There was like two laterals, and it went back to Rodgers, and he was trying to make something happen, and then got nailed with a face mask. It was kind of a play that was a disaster. And yet, face mask gives the Packers another life. Golly. Jeez. Please, NFL. All right, 800-777-2907. Your thoughts on that final play? I would love people's thoughts on the face mask, especially. Coming up next, the NFL makes another decision that I go, what? That's Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quick and Wrong Studios, here's Tony D.
So the Super Bowl is celebrating its 50th anniversary coming up, Levi Stadium. Now, I know there's many of you out there that don't think this is a big deal, but it is a big deal. Who is going to be the halftime act of the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl? They've had some good ones, and they've had some duds. I thought last year with Katy Perry, I thought was outstanding. I thought she knocked it out of the park. There were some others, like I think the Black Eyed Peas weren't that good a couple years ago. Madonna, I didn't think was all that great. When I was a kid, it was Up With People, like the youth singing group, and maybe like the Grambling Marching Band. Then they got more elaborate. Michael Jackson's, if those of you are old enough to remember Michael Jackson's, I think that was in Los Angeles, in Pasadena. Great, great halftime show. So who is going to be the historic halftime act for Super Bowl 50? Now, I would think that they would go out and get like Taylor Swift, somebody who is on top of the world, or I don't know, try to bring, you know, get somebody out there that is an iconic musical group. You know, some maybe a legendary. Yeah, I don't want to say the Rolling Stones because I think the Rolling Stones have done this before. Maybe Bruce Springsteen. I know Kiss was big a couple of years ago, but they went with Coldplay. Is this what we're going to be hearing?
This is Coldplay.
When the Super Bowl is in halftime. Keep this rolling for a second. Imagine the PA announcer at the Super Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL proudly presents Give It Up for Coldplay. You're welcome.
There's going to be like, what, 80,000 fit in Levi for the, right, Super Bowl, something like that?
Screaming and
all,
hollering.
No, they're all going to be sleeping.
And then this comes on.
Yeah. Okay, they always start.
Is he going to do Yellow?
Probably.
God.
I can't believe
they did this.
I don't get it at all. I mean, there's talk of a little Bruno Mars trying to be, you know, they're trying to get him to be a part of it.
All right, that's who I was thinking about. Bruno Mars, was it 2 years ago? He did a good job. He did a good job. Bruno Mars was pretty good. I remember the Black Eyed Peas. The Black Eyed Peas were funny because they said, Fergie said afterwards, she was never more nervous in her life than doing that show. And you're thinking, these are people who play in front of. But the problem with the Super Bowl, in here, you have to remember something about the Super Bowl. If you're, let's say you're Justin Timberlake and you're on tour. And by the way, Justin Timberlake would be great. He would be great. Because Justin Timberlake is a better human being than I am in every way possible.
Every facet.
See, Justin Timberlake could come in my house and immediately be a better father than I am. Because he's better at me than everything that I can do. I could be in my backyard going, I bet Justin Timberlake can't mulch as good as I can. Wrong! He will come in. He will have my lawn looking like Augusta National tomorrow. He's better at me in everything. Justin Timberlake would be great. But when these guys are on tour, they're playing in front of their audience, right? When Taylor Swift goes on stage, she's playing in front of 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, 1,000 people that have all bought tickets to be a part of whatever she's going to give them. They're already in. They've already in. The Super Bowl doesn't come that way. What Fergie was nervous about, If you really dive deep, she wasn't nervous necessarily about performance. She was nervous about the criticism because very, very, very few artists walk off the stage of a show to Twitter hate. But you go to the Super Bowl, you are totally open to that because you are going to be performing in front of over 100 million people, if not a billion people worldwide. And not everybody's a fan of what you do. Not everybody likes what you do. Not everybody's buying into what you do. So you're reselling yourself just like you were when you were starting off in the business and nobody believed in you and nobody knew who you were and nobody would give you the time of day and you just had to go out there and perform and pray somebody heard you and really liked you and signed you to a record deal. These guys can sell millions and millions and millions of records, but on that Super Bowl stage, it is different. They can fill the stadium with people that love you, but it's when afterwards, when everyone's like, that sucked. That was the worst. I can't believe they put those people on. That was so boring. Why are they giving this show to them? Every artist who does a Super Bowl gets that. Coldplay, come on, NFL.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't hit with anybody. At least with, you brought up Taylor Swift. At least the guys that are watching the game are going to think, you know, oh, here's a hot chick. Let's see what she can do. And then you get all the kids and the women that love her music. So you hit everything.
I think this should be for the 50th. Who's the hottest act right now? Yes, pay them whatever it takes. And that should be Taylor Swift. Yahoo Sports Radio.